Have you ever RV'd the past?
Yes, one of the first sessions I ever did, which was really stunning for me, was viewing the destruction of the dinosaurs. This was, again, back at the Farsight Institute.
That is fascinating.
Absolutely. It was 60 million years ago, apparently. And what was amazing about that session for me was I bilocated. Do you know what that term bilocation means in an RV?
Well, that's what I do. I live in St. Louis and Los Angeles.
Yeah, you're bilocated.
All right.
But what it also means is that you could actually feel your light, you're at the target location, and the room around you disappears. It's actually not considered a desirable RV state because you forget to write down what you're getting. And this system, you're supposed to write down everything you get. That's the golden rule of RV, is to write down every thought you have. And it seems to work very well that way. But when you bilocate, it's like being in a movie. And in this RV session with the dinosaurs, the destruction of the dinosaurs, I actually began to see this swampy area and these creatures lifting these large kind of leafy materials with their long necks
sure.
out of water. I couldn't believe this. And then the sky, George, it was this intense azure blue. And the air was so fresh. I've never smelled air like that in my life. But in the RV session, I could smell this incredibly fresh air. And I just said, this can't be Earth right now. This is not the Earth that I know, because it's just crystal clear. But as my monitor moved me forward in the session using a kind of a movement exercise we have to move in time, all of a sudden, everything was just covered in dust. There was just this dust everywhere. And the life had been extinguished that I could see from my particular angle on that. The dinosaurs weren't there, and everything was cold and gray and dusty.
This is after the fact that the big hit.
It suggested
something like a meteor
impact or whatever else happened at that time.
Series of volcanoes, maybe?
Exactly. Something like that, like some cataclysmic event which caused a global cooling and a dust, like I guess could happen nowadays again with some of these volcanoes
sure.
that are active, you know, Yellowstone and so forth.
Yep.
It could happen again sometime in the next 100,000 years. But that was a session from very long ago that was one of the few sessions where I actually felt it was viewing, because I really felt like I was there, and it was like being in a movie theater.
Wouldn't you like to go back and see how they made the pyramids?
Yeah. We've done that session from time to time. And for me, it wasn't quite as stunning as the dinosaur session, but other people have gotten very interesting information that suggests that the viewers I've worked with, that it suggests that the pyramids were built with sound or some sort of advanced technology that I don't think we can even understand. You have to understand, George, that when you're viewing the past or the future, you're going to be perceiving things that you don't quite have words to describe. Like if you took a laptop computer back even 100 years ago, no one's going to know what that is.
You better bring a charged battery with it.
Yeah, exactly. And so when you're viewing, you can move into the future like the people that attempt to do technology transfer and so forth. But you may not even just go 20 years ahead from where we are now. We're going to have technology around that we don't have today, that we don't even conceive. You don't quite have the words to describe, and you're really limited by your vocabulary. So in the pyramid sessions, people have described a type of sonic technology that suggests that there's something levitating the stones. Well, that's just what the session suggests that I've seen. But we don't understand exactly what it is.
Birthday boy Richard C. Hoagland wants you to remote view what happened to Mars 65 million years ago. He's asking if you could do that for him.
It's a fantastic target, and we'd be glad to take a look at that. Richard, we've viewed the Cydonia region a lot. I give that target quite frequently to our...
What have you seen there?
Well, every time we view it, or most of the time, we've seen an advanced civilization. Very active. A long time ago. We're talking a long time ago, though. Millions of years. And I guess that's consistent with what Richard and other researchers have found. But we find networks of tunnels, very active society there.
At that time.
Yes, at that time, definitely humanoids. And for me, it was, again, a very strong session. I did it a while back, but I still remember what the beings looked like that I could see in my viewing session. And they seemed a little shorter than humans. They seemed very intelligent. And they seemed to be, at least when I was viewing them, engaged in some sort of bartering trade. They were very animated, and they were under the Cydonia region. They were underground, actually, at the time.
Well,
I'm not suggesting they could not go above ground, but what I viewed was underground, and Mars is a great target. We love to view that.
I was going to say this underground, you may have already answered it then. Do you think they were forced to go underground?
I don't know. There's only so much you can tell from every session you do. We're all human. There's only so much you can view in one session before you just had enough. And you can't view anymore. You exhaust your viewing skill for that session. And your subconscious breaks off target contact. But what we've done is viewed the Cydonia region over and over again for years now. I love to view that target because I want to see if it's consistent with what we know from the different Viking photos. And now it's exciting because we have this new space orbiter around Mars. And, again, we talked about the importance of feedback. I'm really curious to see if what we find out in the next 6 months, with all the help we'll get from Richard and Coase kind of coordinating what the observer looks at, possibly, at the University of Arizona, that maybe it'll give us some feedback on some of the viewing sessions we've done to view some of these anomalous regions that really look like they have man-made structures and things that don't look natural, because our viewing sessions have certainly picked that up, even to the extent of viewing targeting the particular inhabitants of Mars and particular strata within Martian society to look at their technology at the time. And it really seems to be a very active society that has a much stronger connection to us than we would even
imagine. What did they look like, Simeon?
They seem to have reddish skin, a little more, I guess, like Native Americans, possibly.
But they did look human?
They looked very much human. That's a very good question, George, because, when we think about ETs, we often think of the classic gray morphology.
Or reptilian.
Reptilian or the blondes or something like this, and often very strange sort of descriptions. But these, what surprised me in almost every RV session I've seen about Martians is that they seem surprisingly human, which made me wonder, even at the time 10 years ago, if they weren't human or if they weren't our ancestors in some way. And I know this is a topic that's been suggested. We don't have the evidence to prove that yet, but the session seemed to suggest that because it seems too close to me to be something that just happened randomly, that we ended up looking like them and that we have no common source. I'm betting from our viewing sessions that we have a common history with the Martians at some level because that's what all the viewing sessions that I've seen from Mars seem to suggest. They don't seem that different from us. They just seem like more ancient, like pottery almost, like a distant relative. That's the feeling I get from it.